Hebrews 10, 24, 25. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and words, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Amen. You may be seated. There was a man from the big city that decided to travel to the country to go duck hunting. He shot and dropped a bird, but it fell on a farmer's field on the other side of the fence. As he was climbing over the fence, the farmer drove up on his tractor and asked where he's going. The hunter said, "I shot a duck and I'm going to retrieve it." The old farmer replied, "This is my property, so that makes the duck mine." This made the hunter very angry, and he said, "If you don't let me come over the fence, I'll get my big city lawyer and I'll sue you." The farmer smiled and said, "Apparently you don't know how we settle things out here in the country. We settle our disagreements with the three kick rule. I'll kick you three times and then you can kick me three times and so on back and forth until somebody gives up." The hunter liked this challenge because he thought he could easily take on this feeble old farmer. The old man climbed down from the tractor and then he just planted his steel-toed heavy work boot right in the man's shin. Man fell to his knees. The second kick hit the man in the stomach, knocking the wind out of him. The third kick went into the man's ribs. You could hear him, pop. It hurt. The guy fell over. And then disoriented, he just slowly got up. And he said, "Okay, old codger, now it's my turn." To which the farmer replied, "Nah, I give up. You can have a duck." There are times in our lives when we engage in conflicts that are just crazy. Things that we don't need to be fighting about, and we fight about. That's what I want to talk about this morning. I want to give you kind of a recipe for fighting that will give you a huge advantage in every conflict, whether big or small, that you enter into. Whether this conflict is with friends, foes, family, co-workers, wherever, there are some biblical principles that we can use that will help us turn these arguments and these frictions around so that they will end, so that God will be glorified, and you don't have to live filled with anger or bitterness anymore. The number one thing that you need to know that God wants you to do is God only wants you to enter into battles that you can win. Stick with me. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12 says, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places." Now, when I was in the Army a very long time ago, and I went before a promotion board to be promoted to sergeant, a board of senior NCOs asked questions. Now, one question that I remember was, imagine that you're out on patrol and a snake bites your point man. That's the guy out front. Your point man collapses, and so you send a second man up to check on the first man. The second man also gets bit by the snake and collapses. What should you do? The correct answer is pretty simple. Kill the snake. But a friend of mine who took the minutes at this promotion board said that you would not believe the number of odd answers soldiers would come up with. Like, rope the injured men and drag them back, call for helicopter support, or go away and return later after the snake was gone. You see, You need to know, we need to know the enemy. And we need to battle the enemy. You see, our problem begins when we... Wait, I didn't word this right. Our problem, when our problems begin, we have to deal with whatever is there. But we're not going to resolve our problems until we start dealing with the real enemy. So I titled this sermon, "Don't Bring a Knife to a Gunfight." But I got to tell you, that's what a lot of Christians do. Because they don't engage in the battle that they should be fighting. It's kind of like, you know, when you go to the doctor and you go in and you say, "Doctor, I don't feel good." And he says, "What's wrong?" "Well, my heart's out of rhythm." He says, here's some beta blockers. Take these. "Well, doctor, I got a cough." Here's some cough medicine. Take this. "Doctor, my elbow's awful sore." And he's like, "Well, here's some Tylenol. Take this." You see, because all he's doing is he's treating the symptoms. He's not treating the cause. He's not treating what causes it. You guys know what I'm talking about there, right? And so we do that all too often in our relationships with people. We get into a conflict and then we deal with the conflict rather than dealing with the problem that lies behind the conflict. That's why I say you bring a knife to a gunfight. It's because you want to battle the circumstances rather than the problem. You're not really facing the enemy. You're facing the consequences of having an enemy. Let me give you an example. In our homes. Now, imagine that, I mean, this is totally hypothetical and it doesn't happen to any of us. Maybe people in other churches, but not us. Okay, so imagine that you're arguing with your spouse over finances. And that this is kind of an ongoing battle. Now, if you're not married, you might have to imagine, but even those of us that are married, we're imagining because we never fight around such things. Right? It's all quiet in here. Now, let me ask you this. Is your spouse the enemy? Because the enemy lies in the authorities and the cosmic powers and the spiritual forces of evil that lie behind both you and your spouse. That's where the battle is happening. We're only seeing the consequences of the battle. You know, I served as a volunteer fireman for a while, and one of the things that you learn right away is when you're fighting fire, don't spray the smoke or the flames. Because you can spray smoke and flames with water all day. You will not put the fire out. You have to spray the source of the fire. So, in order to spray the source of the fire, there are some things we can do. Now, first off, I want to say that when it comes to fighting the authorities, the cosmic powers, and the spiritual forces of evil, good luck. You can't, you know, you can see the manifestations of those, but you can't see those. Those are fights that only God can battle. And so we enter into a relationship with Him, and then He assists us in such things. But while we're waiting for Him to overcome those things, there are some things that we can do. Number one, improve your communication. Speak clearer. Listen better. Use body language that matches your words. You know, when your spouse is going, "Yeah, I love you," it doesn't really ring through. So make sure that your body language is matching your words. Now, also be consistent in your position. You know, finances is the perfect example. Let's not spend any extra money. Okay. Let's go out to eat. Okay. Let's stop by Walmart. Okay. All this, be consistent in your position. Make an agreement. Stick to it. Number two, build an atmosphere of trust. We do this when we repeatedly reassure others through words and deeds that we love them and that our love is unconditional and that there is no intention to hurt them. Number three, do what's right. This is the simplest thing ever. Just do what's right. Ask yourself, okay, I'm having an argument with my wife. Is raising my voice the right thing to do? Just do the right thing. No, it's not the right thing to raise your voice and start screaming and yelling and stomping and carrying on. Just do the right thing. You're at work and your coworker is driving you crazy. What do you do? Do you just stop? No. You don't stop. You don't give them the silent treatment. You start doing the right thing. And another thing is, if you're waiting for somebody else to make the right move before you're going to react, you're a boat without a motor. You're going nowhere. You're just at the mercy of the winds and the waves. So make your own decisions. Make some choices. Do what's right. And the fourth one, which maybe should be the first one, put your faith in God. That is, let Him keep score. Let Him get even for you. Let Him produce the results. He said, well, what if it takes my entire life to sort out this conflict? Anybody ever feel that way? I'm never going to sort it. It's going to take my whole life. Well, when we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first began. So, if you believe that, then you know that whatever is bothering you today will not have bothered you for 9,900 and some odd years. So I think it's okay to just let it go now. Because you're going to have to let it go sooner or later. Whenever I meet a young person, I say, oh, I see you started to smoke. Because a lot of young people, they start, you know, the cigarettes, right? I say, you know you have to quit. Because it's the truth, isn't it? Sooner or later, you have to quit. Sooner or later, something's going to pop. You got it? So, something.
You get cancer.
Yeah.
I know.
So, just quit. Just do what's right. Put your faith in God. Stop worrying about what's happening now. Back off. Put a little perspective on it. Scope it out over 10,000 years and choose your battles wisely. The second thing is forget the rules of engagement. You know, usually we talk about the rules of engagement. We're talking about like the military. In military conflicts, there are rules of engagement. Well, there's rules in almost everything. Since I've got boxing gloves up here, I'll tell you there's lots of rules in boxing. There's rules in football, since woohoo, football's starting. And there's rules in business. There's rules in stock trading. Just ask Martha Stewart. And just there's rules in almost everything we do. But when it comes to conflict for the Christian, you can forget about the rules of engagement. 2 Corinthians 10, 3-6 says, for though we walk in the flesh, we are not waging war against the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but of divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments with and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and take every thought captive to obey Christ, being ready to punish every disobedience when your obedience is complete. Now, you see, God is calling us to fight differently than everybody else in the world fights. Our weapons are not of the flesh. Our weapons of warfare are not of the flesh. They have divine power. You see, our weapons aren't normal. They're nuclear. When someone comes after you to slap you down, someone comes at you to tell you off, you know what you need to do? Is slap, instead of slapping them back, slap your knees on the ground and ask God to tell them off for you. Because you see, God won't knock them into next Tuesday. He'll knock them for a month of Sundays. Because God is at work in our lives. Several years ago, one of our now former members, so it's no one here, was arrested for domestic violence. I called the jail and asked if I could visit them. The jailer said, "We don't allow visitors before arraignment." I said, "But I'm not a visitor, I'm their pastor." I was again told, "You cannot come before their arraignment." I said, "I'd like to speak to the person who made that rule." The voice on the other end of the phone said, "You are." So I politely said, "So you have decided to deny a citizen of our community who has been convicted of no crime, you've decided to deny them the opportunity to see their clergy when they're in jail." The jailer said, "That's right." And I said, "Then I'll pray for you." And I hung up the phone. I thought about calling the sheriff. I thought about a lot of things. I thought about forcing my way, but I decided to just pray. That head jailer was relieved of their duty before the year ended. Now you might say, "Well, they were probably doing a lot of things wrong." No, they just got fired because I prayed. That's it. That's it. You know, people are always trying to find some other reason to justify what God's will is, when the Bible teaches us pretty clearly that if we pray, we're going to see results. So when I pray and see results, I'm just going to assume that's God, instead of thinking, "Well, that was something else. My prayer had nothing to do with it. I just prayed the name of Jesus and the blood of Christ that's been redeeming mankind for 2,000 years. My prayer couldn't mean anything." Romans chapter 12, verse 19 through 21 says, "Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay,' says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. For by doing so, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." Now just to add one little final thought to that, about a year later, I called the jail to speak with another inmate that hadn't been arraigned, a similar situation. And the jailer's response was, "Absolutely. They need to talk to you. Come on down. When would you like to be here?" You see, we don't fight like everybody else fights. As believers in the God who created the universe, as people who understand that when we ask for something in Jesus' name, that we will receive an answer, when we engage with God, we are no longer fighting fair. It's not that we brought a knife to a gunfight. It's not even that we brought a gun to a gunfight. No, when we go to God in prayer, we're bringing a bazooka, a cannon, a howitzer, a tank, an airstrike, and an atomic submarine to the gunfight. It's not fair. And as servants of God, we should absolutely have no intention of losing, ever. See, when people come at you to hurt you and to insult you and to take your money, to ruin your reputation or anything else, the number one rule is engage God immediately. Include Him in the situation. Number two, listen to God. Because a lot of times when we're in a conflict and we're thinking, Lord, give, the Lord would say, but you're the problem. So we need to be listening so that we can hear. Now we need to check and recheck. This is number three. Check and recheck our motives to make sure that we're not desiring something for sinful reasons. And number four, we need to just get out of God's way. A few years ago, I was helping a family with a small remodel, and I was doing my least favorite of all construction type jobs. I was doing drywall finishing, and I was putting the mud on the wall, and I had the knife, right? And you put some mud on the wall, and you put some tape on the wall, drywall mud, and you put the drywall mud over the top, and you're working. I hope you've seen it. I hope you know what I'm talking about. And as I'm working, and since I don't like doing this, and I'm not very good at it, I'm working right in front of me, and I catch a glimpse of something out of the corner of my eye. And I turn and look, and here's the homeowner's two-year-old who has showed up with their little car, and they're using their little car like it's a trowel and dragged it across the wall, which peeled the tape up. And when they saw the tape, they thought, oh. And so they give that a big pull, and what I see is the tape coming up like 4 feet, 5 feet high. Well, that's great. In 2 seconds, you just undid like 20 minutes worth of work. But I couldn't help but wonder if God ever feels that way when I'm helping Him. I'm just going to help you on this, Lord. I know you need my help. The third point, is that that we can do to end fighting in our lives is to know when to walk away. Pride goes before, Proverbs 16, 18, 19. Pride goes before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. It is better to be a lowly spirit with poor than to divide spoil with the proud. Pride is a trap that is set for everyone. Don't step in. Jesus instructed us to turn the other cheek. It's the same idea. Just get yourself out of the equation, and you will find that it's a lot easier to navigate through conflict. So, as we read through the Bible, there are many people that we consider godly people. But as we read the details of their lives, we can find that they've made a ton of mistakes. Those men and women, they lied, they cheated, they tricked, they were disobedient, they were even murderers. Yet, they're still considered godly people. Now, why is that? It's because God sees our heart. God knows the difference between a fallen man and a willfully sinful one. So we need to learn how to walk away from our pride. We need to admit when we're wrong, apologize when we need to. And when we do that, there's going to be a river of God's peace that will flow through us and through our hearts. And I want to tell you, at that point, it is so hard to argue with somebody who is happy and at peace. It's so much easier to argue with somebody who's all mad and worked up. And it's so hard to argue with somebody that's just smiling. It's just so hard. And so, I want to challenge you today to be that one who just rises up above these problems. Sue, put up the ninth slide, please. This is the one that says, Ephesians, where it says, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, the cosmic powers. Okay? But sometimes we can get lost in what it's saying. So, Sue, put up the tenth slide, please. See, for we wrestle against the authorities, not your spouse, not your coworkers, not your friend, not your ugly neighbor, none of those people. We wrestle against the authorities, the cosmic powers, we wrestle against darkness, we wrestle against spiritual forces of evil that are in heavenly places, and I'm here to tell you, you can't do that by yourself. You need God's help. Put up the 11th slide, please. It says here that, for though we walk in the flesh, we are not waging war according to the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but of divine powers to destroy strongholds. Let's skip to the next slide. Isn't there one between? Did I leave? There it is. For the weapons of our warfare have divine power to destroy strongholds. When's the last time you entered into a fight knowing you were going to win because God was on your side? When's the last time you entered into an argument or went up against a lofty opinion, something that was against the knowledge of God, something that didn't, knowing that you were obeying Christ? When's the last time that you entered into a disagreement about your family finances? Or anything else that's argued about in your home. When's the last time? Go to the next slide, please. The Proverbs 16, verse, the end of that says, it is better to be of a lowly spirit with a poor man than to divide spoil with the proud. So go to the last slide. It is better to be of a lowly spirit with the poor than the proud. Just trying to keep really simple. Really plain. If you want to put an end to the frictions in your home, there's a recipe. That'll do it. Smile more, frown less. Choose to lose. Pick your battles. It's not your wife's problem. It's not your co-worker's problem. It's not your problem. It's nobody else's problem. There are forces at work here that we cannot see. Fight those. Say, well, it's a lot easier to yell at my wife. Well, therein lies the problem. We are once again bringing a knife to a gunfight, and you keep wondering why you're losing. Let's stand together. Worship team, if you guys can please come. Wait, help us, Lord, to not fall into the trap of walking in our own strength, in our own power, but help us, Father, to walk in the power of the blood of Christ. That we, Lord, can find victory in every circumstance and situation. For Father, surely heaven is not just something that lies before us, but it's something that we can have right now. Because Jesus didn't just die that we would have eternal life, but he also died that we would have life and have it more abundantly. So help us, Father, to be people filled with joy, filled with love, filled with peace. Filled, Lord, with the transformation power of having your Holy Spirit dwell in our hearts. Father, we're not going to take the beaten lying down. No, we're going to kneel. We're going to engage you. And we're going to walk through victoriously. In Jesus' name. Father, I ask blessings on these guys that you keep them safe this week as they come and go, do all the things they need to do. I pray, Father, that your hand would be upon them on Vacation Bible School. And I pray, Father, that you just help us. Thank you for your love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.